Welcome, I'm Samantha Diliberti, founder of the social impact hub, Orange You Going, and this is Progress Through Purpose. Progress Through Purpose helps you discover issues you're passionate about, like the environment, social equality, affordable housing, and more, and makes it easy for you to affect change while connecting with like-minded New Yorkers in person. Learn from experts working on the vital issues impacting the largest city in the U.S., and hear the solutions they propose. Then meet us in person. Join the OG Squad, a community of changemakers who meet to affect change together. Build new friendships, expand your network, and advance your career through civic engagement, all while uplifting our city. Learn more about the movement at orangeyougoing.com. Hey, OG Squad. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today, we're speaking with Aisha Tater. She's the executive director of Donate Life New York State, a statewide nonprofit that advocates for life-saving organ, eye, and tissue donation. Aisha, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's really exciting to be here. Thanks for the invitation, Samantha.
Of course. Just a quick disclaimer to listeners, I am familiar with organ donation. My family has actually been personally impacted by organ donation, which I will talk about a little bit more later. But to kick us off, Aisha, can you tell us just what Donate Life New York State is? What is your mission and how do you accomplish it?
Absolutely. So we are the statewide nonprofit organization that is dedicated every single day to increasing organ, eye, and tissue donation. You know, our goal and our purpose when we come to work every day is to make sure that the, you know, approximately 8,000 New Yorkers who are waiting for that life-saving organ transplant get one.
An organ donation is probably the most personal and major gift that you could ever give another person. So before we get into some of the logistics of just how you do what you do and how the system works, can you share with us a little bit about the human impact of organ donation?
You know, it is profound, right? These 8,000 people in New York today that are on the national transplant wait list, they're waiting for this phone call to come that will save their life, that some individual, some generous person who has signed up on the New York State Donate Life Registry or made this incredibly generous decision has the ability to save their life. And in New York, you're going to wait a long time. You're going to wait here longer than in other states. You're going to wait 5 years approximately for a kidney transplant, equally long for a liver. And there are even those that have waited much longer. I spoke to someone the other day whose son waited on dialysis for 16 years for a kidney.
Gosh.
So, you know, it is human. And it's human in a desperate place. And the thing that gets me probably the most is that we have the power to save them. We have the power to do something about these wait times. We have the power to eradicate the wait list by the very simple decision to make this generous gift to, when you pass away, to gift your organs and eyes and tissues to somebody else who needs them when you're done and you don't need them anymore. They can give somebody else a full and long life. So I'm hoping that kind of gives you it. The magnitude is significant.
Yeah, I mean, I just to share my personal story, my grandmother received an organ transplant and it gave her 7 more years of life. And that organ transplant was the only reason that I had any relationship with her. She passed when I was about 8 years old, meaning she got the transplant when I was about a year old. And I spent my childhood with her. I spent most of my weekends with her. And so the idea of never having known my grandmother, who even today, her memory and, you know, what I the time I spent with her plays such a major role in my life. I mean, the idea of not having ever known her or made that connection is unthinkable. And it truly is all related back to organ donation. So No, it definitely resonates with me. I am an organ donor, and we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, how to register and all of that. But it is truly life-changing. And to your point, it's something, you know, that can help you live on, right? It's a legacy, and it's it can really not only change one human's life, but change that entire family's life. What are some of the questions that you get from people who are unsure about organ donation? It is, you know, it's a big decision. It's very personal. And what do you say to them when they're unsure?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably the number one thing we hear from people, well, I guess we'll go from like the most casual. The casual thing I hear from people all the time is, you know, oh, I'm too old. You don't want something from me. And our response to that is simply, you know, the oldest organ donor was 96 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not about your age. It's not about how old you are. It's about how healthy you are. And what I say to people is, you know, this science changes every single day. All I need from you today is a willingness in your heart to help somebody else. And then let the medical professionals, let the doctors and the people who are trained and educated and knowledgeable in the space determine if there's anything that can help somebody else. So there's this kind of like self-deselection that we hear all the time. And then the second thing that we hear is probably, oh no, you know, I don't want to be on the registry, or I don't want that heart on my license, because if something happens to me and I'm taken to a hospital, the medical professionals or the EMTs won't try to save my life. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. If you are sick, if you are injured and you are taken to a hospital, the number one priority is to save your life, regardless of whether or not you're an organ donor or a tissue donor. These individuals have a Hippocratic oath and who are dedicated professionals, and their whole purpose, their whole mission is to save your life. As a matter of fact, what a lot of people don't know is that the staff that's treating you and caring for you in the hospital, they don't have access to the registry. The hospital doesn't have access to the donation registry, the New York State Donate Life Registry, that there's an entire separate team that comes in and works on the donation process. So those are probably the two things, and in varying degrees of concern.
Are there any or religious concerns around organ donation?
So we do hear that sometimes as well. And, you know, the great thing about donation and its life-saving capacity is that every single donation prioritizes life. And so we can say with confidence to people when they say that to us is that every single major religion supports organ and tissue donation. Unquestionably, you know, in the Jewish faith, the greatest thing you can give is a mitzvah, which is to someone, is to save someone's life. And the same, there's same principles in the Quran, in the Bible. And, you know, this is something that is, at the end of the day, saving somebody's life, and every religion supports that.
So before we get into the logistics of this system, which you started to touch on and I'm very intrigued by, can you just talk a little bit about which organs can be donated? I think the one people usually think of is like a kidney, but, you know, we mentioned in the introduction that you also work on eye and tissue donation. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and just, you know, what parts of your body can be donated after you're done using them, as you said?
So the big thing to know, and some, you know, really easy, quick facts for people to understand, is that one organ donor has the ability to save 8 lives, and one tissue donor can heal 75 more, right?
Oh, wow.
So you've got pancreas, you've got heart, and the list actually grows. You know, with all of the scientific developments, that's the fascinating thing about this space is that, and this topic is that they're doing incredible leaps and bounds in the science in this space to save people's lives every day. There is incredible capacity. And so when we talk about, so that's just in a nutshell organ, right? Mm-hmm. And so tissue includes the eye, so cornea to restore sight. And then there's skin, there's bone. And in recent years, they've done things called vascular composite allografts, which is like face and hands and feet. This started, out of a need for, military. So soldiers who are wounded, particularly with explosives that needed this type of recovery and healing. And, you know, again, it's, you know, they're using, birth tissue for wound healing, and the fascinating changes in this space to, address the medical needs is just incredible and fascinating. It's a fascinating world. You know, your listeners, and you have probably seen recent reports about genetically modified, pig kidneys are being transplanted. You know, they're looking at beyond the scope of what humans are able to transplant, and donate. So, you know, again, it is incredible. When I started here, HIV was an eliminator for someone to donate. And now that's no longer possible. That's no longer an eliminator. Hep C was an eliminator that you couldn't be a donor. And now they have, you know, antiviral for Hep C. So almost with every year, there's some new development in this space to help address the incredible growing need.
And this really just gets back to your important point before, which is that we shouldn't self-eliminate, because right. What is true today may not be true in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years.
Or 1 year, Samantha. It's right. Amazing what they're doing. Yeah, that is exactly the truth.
So let's talk about the system and the logistics of organ donation. You touched on there being two different teams that are working on you, you know, when if somebody's in the hospital, for example, but who owns this system? Like, who makes it run? I know that you work for, you know, representing the state of New York, but do you talk to other states? Just a general overview, because I know nothing about how the system is run. I'm just grateful for the system.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this could take us hours, right? So just really high level, there is it's a national structure. Organs are considered a national resource. They are shared nationally. The waitlist is national. It is a fundamental element of our system is equity, that it's based on your medical status and your need, right? There's all sorts of testing and medical indicators that dictate where you are on the wait list and when you will get that transplant that you need. So it is a national framework. And so there, you know, transplant centers, organ procurement organizations are all part of this national structure.
So who organizes the rules? Is this federally managed? Is there an association that comes up with these rules?
So no, this is absolutely federally managed. CMS and HRSA and HHS. I mean, this is, you know, from the very top of the federal system, related to healthcare rules and laws governing this process, through the agencies and then down into the state. I mean, we have here in New York State, we have our own anatomical gift laws that also govern this process.
And where does your organization fit in? Are you then advocating for rules or laws at the state level?
Yeah, so I consider us like an umbrella organization because there are so many contributors. The diaspora of the donation and transplant community is vast, right? There are so many different organizations plus individuals that, you know, I call, you know, our mission individuals, people who have been touched by our mission, and hospitals and transplant centers and eye banks and tissue banks and, you know, the organ procurement organizations. And so we're kind of this large umbrella organization that brings all of these various different contributors and stakeholders in this space. And we're also the New York State contracted organization that operates and administers the New York State Donate Life Registry. And that's that database of approximately 7.7 million New Yorkers who have documented this incredibly important decision. So one of our responsibilities is to make sure that we grow that registry. And we also advocate on behalf of this organization. We do advocate for policy changes every year to help address the shortage. Because at the end of the day, what we haven't talked about, Samantha, is that I touched on it when I said that someone that I heard recently, her son waited 16 years. And I talked about the wait times. But we have a public health crisis here in New York. And so part of our role and responsibilities is to advocate for policies that change that. We do, and we also do public and professional education to help make sure that individuals who have an access point to the public, whether you're an estate attorney or you're someone who interacts with the public on this topic, you can help advocate and to raise the public's awareness and to help address this shortage and this crisis that we have. So for example, you know, the New York State Donate Life Registry, we currently have 49% of our population enrolled. But the national average is 64%. Now, important to note, over the past 10 years, we've more than doubled the number of New Yorkers on the registry. And
congratulations. That's huge.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, 7.7, we're probably closer to 7.8 now, is million people is nothing to shake a stick at, right? I mean, that's more than the entire population of 37 states. Right. So it is significant, but we've got a long way to go. We need to continue to advocate for policies and changes. And really, you know, I feel like part of our messaging is just to prioritize this issue so that people understand what's at stake and that we're losing. People are dying. Approximately 400 men, women, children, you know, people that we know, our neighbors, our kids' teachers, every year because they don't get that transplant.
And so the 8 million is still not high enough to meet the need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we have 20 million people here, although I think a little bit shrinking in New York. And we have internationally renowned institutions. We have, you know, we have a lot of people in our state. And so with a large population comes a large need.
So can you talk a little bit about how your organization has made it easier for New Yorkers to become registered donors? Because it's not like we're born into it, right? It's not a default. So how have you made it easier? And then also, how can New Yorkers get registered today?
Yeah, this was one of my first strategies when I got here. Actually, next month, it'll be 12 years that I've been in this role here with our
organization. Congratulations again.
Thank you. So this was one of my first things right out of the gate, was that the point of access for documenting this decision once upon a time was solely the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles and the licensing process. And then, you know, again, I understand the inclination here, but they kept extending the number of years that your license was active, right? So now we're like at 8 years before we have to renew our driver's license. While we love that as New Yorkers and not having to, you know, go through that process, from a registry enrollment process, well, that was really a stumbling block for us. So we sought to diversify for so many reasons. One was that kind of growing length of time before we were even presenting the question to New Yorkers, but plus the fact that, you know, not everybody's a driver in New York, right? So
yeah, very true.
Right? Were we accessing everybody? So, you know, we kind of took this strategy of not only diversification, but I want to bring this question to New Yorkers where they are. And I will say the other piece is my whole goal here is to, I want New York to be a leader, right? I want us to prioritize this issue and be a leader. So what we did is we started looking, and we had to be innovative, right? We had to be creative about how are we going to bring this question to New Yorkers where they were, diversify, get the question on a more frequent basis. So then we started looking at access points. So one of the first things was we incorporated this opportunity to enroll in the New York State Don't Live Registry as part of the voter registration process. So to date, we are still the only state in the nation that presents this question and creates this opportunity as part of the voter registration process. I think that's a really important one because considering where we are in the calendar, it's, election day is upon us, that you can register in New York and no other state in the nation when you're registering to vote. You can register as an organ and tissue donor.
Well, and I think, too, the fact that you're registering while you're registering to vote frames it as a civic duty as well, which is great.
100%. The rate at which people enroll to the voter registration process sometimes is as high as 46%.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. We have approximately 500,000 people in New York who have registered just through that process.
And when did that change become effective?
2010. So that's where we started. And then that was so successful that then we went and we added it to the New York City Municipal ID card, right? The identification card. Then we added it to the New York State of Health Marketplace. Then we added it to the vehicle registration. Then we added it to hunting and fishing licenses. And then one of our biggest expansions is we passed legislation to incorporate this question in private health insurance plan application and renewals.
Oh, wow. So it's not just through the state. It's through multiple avenues.
So we spent a good 10 years focused on state-based transactions, right? I feel like that builds a culture of donation. I think the fact that the state process is presenting this question gives it a sense of authority and confidence. And through those different sources, we have enrolled 1.7 million New Yorkers. So it's a strategy that works, right? I kind of take it, if it works, don't stop doing it. But then we looked at, for the first time, we're the only state in the nation that is now bringing online a private industry.
So we are leading the way. Thanks to your leadership. That's great. That's great.
We are.
So if somebody is not registering to vote or to get their license, et cetera, is there still a way that they can register to be an organ donor, or do they have to wait for that process?
No. One of the great things that happened when Donate Life New York State was awarded the contract for the New York State Donate Life Registry was that we built a website. We didn't even as a state have a dedicated website once upon a time. So now there's a website, donatelifenys.org/register, where somebody can go and document this decision any time of the day or night. And the nice thing is that this system that we've built, you can also access that record anytime. You can make changes. If you get married and change your name, or if you move, you can go and change your address. If you change your mind and you want to remove yourself, you can do that as well.
That's great. Bringing us into the 21st century.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for walking us through all of this. Can you share how listeners can support your work and get involved?
Absolutely. We are a small but mighty team here at Donate Life New York State. I have a staff of 7. We have a small budget. So we're always looking for people who want to volunteer and who want to support our activities and help us raise awareness. We're looking for organizations that want to partner with us to help bring this question to New Yorkers. And at the end of the day, it is the fundraising efforts and the financial contributions that support all of this work. And so we ask people to go to our website and go to donatelifenys.org/donate. And that is where you can make a contribution and help advance our cause. We're also going to be hosting we're really excited about a reception, an inaugural reception that we're going to be hosting in New York City on October 16th. It's a fundraiser we're hosting, but it's also, we're going to be recognizing an incredible, inspirational person in the field of donation and transplant, Dr. Arthur Kaplan from NYU. He is a renowned national bioethicist. If there's ever a question about this topic from any national media, he has a podcast with the Boston Globe on a weekly basis. He is kind of the venerable source of ethical answers when it comes to donation transplant. We're honoring him for a lifetime of contributions and conversations about this topic on October 16th. It's at the Law Offices of Manatt, Phelps & Phillips, in Times Square from 5:30 to 7:30. I think we're going to be sharing the registration link with you, Samantha, so your listeners can go on and register. But we're really excited to be doing this, and to be honoring him and to be part of that is really very humbling for me and our organization. But we need all the help we can get. So if you're interested and you want to help and support, please reach out.
Great. Thank you. So listeners, you can find civic events hosted by change-making organizations like Donate Life on our website, orangeyougoing.com. So if you'd like to meet us in person, have any additional questions, this is a great way to come out in person and connect. So let's affect change together. Thank you so much for joining us and for all that you do for New York and for organ donation.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you for the invitation, Samantha.
Get the most of Orange You Going, New York's social impact hub. When you join the Og Squad for free, you receive event notifications curated to your interests. Never miss a change-making event. Orange You Going to be there?